Why would he back Sparta into a corner? Because then the Spartans were making war on Athens. Athens would appear the victim. It was Athens that wasn't breaking the 30 years peace, but Sparta was. Now this view, my view about Pericles, is a heretical one, I know, and goodness knows you've met enough heresies of mine already, and we'll meet a lot more. But I should be up front with you right now and confess I don't like Pericles. So any chance I get to criticize him, I'm going to take it. There, how's that for objectivity? But if you think that Pericles didn't engineer the outbreak of the war, if you think that it broke out because of the snowball effect of these three immediate causes, that's fine, I don't mind, you might well be right. But I'm going to stick to my guns on this issue. To begin with, Corcyra, our first immediate cause. In 435, the island of Corcyra, which was off the eastern coast of Illyria, actually Corcyra is the modern Corfu, Corcyra and its colony Epidamnus became locked in a dispute. A civil war broke out in Epidamnus. And when the Democrats in Epidamnus appealed for help to Corcyra, their mother city, they were turned down. So these Democrats invoked the help of Corinth, which was the mother city of Corcyra. So if you like, Epidamnus is the granddaughter, shall we say, of Corinth. Now clashes between Corinth and Corcyra made the Corcyreans realize that they needed help. Corinth was big and strong. It also had a formidable navy. The Corcyreans had a very strong navy too, but they couldn't match that of Corinth. So Corcyra could hardly turn for help to any other member of the Peloponnesian League because Corinth was the strongest member of that league behind Sparta. So that meant the Corcyreans could turn only to Athens. The Athenians held an assembly about what to do. Should we accept the Corcyrean plea for assistance, which would have meant allying with Corcyra? But would that not have meant breaking the 30 years peace, because the Athenians would then have been moving against Corinth? And one of the terms of the 30 years peace was that one side should not move against the allies of the other. Pericles steps in here, and he guided the assembly towards making a defensive alliance. Athens would come to Corcyra's aid only if attacked. And so this was not going against an ally of Sparta. The justification for it was Corcyra's location on the trade route to the west. So in other words, if Corinth hadn't sailed against Corcyra, then the Athenians would not have become embroiled with Corinth. So hence the defensive alliance. Well, not a surprise, Corinth did indeed send a fleet against Corcyra. And the Athenians supported their new ally. In a naval engagement in 433, a Peloponnesian fleet, one that included 90 Corinthian ships, was virtually annihilated by the Athenian navy. In fact, it would take Corinth some years to rebuild its naval strength. Now, hardly surprising, this strained relations between Athens and Corinth dramatically. But things got worse in 433 when Athens switched its attention to northern Greece, to the Corinthian colony of Potidaea in the Chalcidice. And so we move to our second immediate cause that involves Potidaea. Now, although colonies were independent of their mother cities, Potidaea was the exception that proved the rule. For some reason, Potidaea always received its annual magistrates from Corinth. Now, Potidaea was a member of the Delian League, and so the Athenians ordered it not to receive any more magistrates from Corinth. They also ordered the Potidaeans to dismantle their fortifications and to hand over hostages. And they justified these demands on the grounds of needing to protect Athenian interest in the region. Let's just remember, one of the clauses of the 30 years peace was that a hegemon could move against his ally and use force if necessary. So the Athenians were justified to use this type of force towards the Potidaeans. They hadn't broken any terms of the 30 years peace.